Shut up and sit down. You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 family. Follow us on Twitter at CheatersNVRPin. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. I'm JC, my buddy right next to me, Mr. Workrate, Tom.
I got a bowl of green peas here, so.
That's good.
This is how we roll.
That's how we roll.
At the Cheaters Never Pin podcast.
Yes.
The green penis you could want.
Oh, what?
Never mind.
I think you meant peas.
Well, green peas are full of green penis. You know, like carrots are full of carrotness.
Ah, gotcha. Because I was going to make sure, you know, we're recording this. I wanted, and it literally will go all over the world. So I wanted you to make sure.
And who knows? I mean, you know, it gets sent out to the satellites or whatever. They could be intercepted. Aliens could be listening to this right now, judging our intelligence as a species.
It's true. We're oddly big in France as well. So, you know.
Oh.
Bonjour. All right. Hey, so just so the people at home know, one, sorry we're recording this a day late. I had a massive headache yesterday. And then it's currently 11:45 Thursday night. So we're going to keep this show real short for you.
Yeah, stuff happened. Good night, everyone.
Yes, thank you. We love wrestling. So we're just going to run down, give our quick overview of Great Balls of Fire, do a quick little overview of the Mae Young classic roster. We got some entries in the pin box for what's going on with Kurt Angle, and then we'll do a real quick match exchange. Good show.
I remember what your match was.
quick plugs at the top of the show. I'll go ahead and get them out of the way now. If you're doing any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to cheatersneverpin.com first. Click the Amazon button. Do your shopping. Kicks us a few cents. And it doesn't cost you an extra thing. And thank you for all of you that did it this past week on Prime Day.
Yeah, we got a decent amount of you. Well, maybe not you, but people did. They bought stuff. And I mean, hell, I bought stuff. I mean, everybody bought stuff on Prime Day because it's Prime Day.
And whoever ordered the 72-pack of carpet tape, you might need a professional help.
Or amateur help. I mean, you know, if anyone's willing to help, take it.
Right. And then, of course, as always, if you really love what we do here and you dig everything that we do here at Section 328 and Cheaters Never Win and Cheaters Never Pin, go to cheatersneverpin.com, click the Patreon button on the front page, and kick us a few bucks, a few schmeckles a month, if you will. We greatly appreciate it. We got some great rewards. We appreciate having you as a patron of Section 328 and the Cheaters Never Pin podcast.
Aren't schmeckles the unit of currency that they use in Rick and Morty for that one particular episode?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always wondered why that stuck in my head, and that's why.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he had to pay to get the gob guy to get them down the giant stairs.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Welcome to the Rick and Morty podcast, coming soon to the Section 328 podcast media empire network.
We'd probably get more listeners that way.
We would. But you,
I'd listen.
Yeah. Well, let's just plow right in here. Like Roman Reigns driving an ambulance, we're going to crash right into Great Balls of Fire, Tom.
Segway!
Look at that. I was looking for one, and I found it, and I'm very proud. Overall impressions on the Flaming Ballsack pay-per-view?
It was better than a Flaming Ballsack, actually.
It was.
I mean, it was all around a pretty good card. We had some repetition with matches. I mean, if we need to see Miz and Ambrose again, I'm going to shoot myself. Cesaro, Sheamus, Hardy's is done now, hopefully. We're going to see Big Cass versus Enzo for the rest of our lives, probably. But and Bray Wyatt won a match.
Yeah, on pay-per-view. And then he won one the next night. Bray Wyatt got two wins in a row. Alert the local media. Why is local media not on this podcast?
Because local media is kind of busy right now.
They're worried about, they're wondering if Cam Ward wants to step up and buy the team, right?
I can only assume so. And I was waiting for the Bray Wyatt impression, and you didn't.
Well, it's 11. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. save it for the other show. Let's run down the card real quick. On the pre-show, Neville defeated Akira Tozawa to retain the Cruiserweight Championship.
That was a fun match.
It was. It was good. Neville.
Do it more.
Two really good workers. And then Titus was there. And Titus is... I know Titus gets a lot of shit. He is really good in this role.
This is... It's only taken, like, what, 4 years, but they've actually found something he's good at.
Yep. We covered Bray defeating Seth. He has now beaten him twice in a row because, you know, Raw is rematches. I don't know where any of this goes from here. Looks like Seth and Dean may or may not re-team up, but I don't know what's next for Bray.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's next for Bray.
Big Cass murdered Enzo Amore in 5 minutes and 25 seconds. Enzo dead. Big Cass also with the worst entrance music in history.
Yeah, I was watching this without sound at the time, so I still haven't actually listened to the music, and I'm kind of afraid to at this point.
Dude, it's just like noises. And like I've gone back and listened to it so many times, but like there's no like, what is this? And I love the CFO dollar signs. They're very good at what they do. And this is shitty.
And it's a shame because, you know, if you're using the whole kind of Brooklyn aspect to him, and, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can go with the theme
just
with him.
Just come out to Billy Joel.
Billy Joel's from Long Island, damn it.
But it's all New York. No one gives a shit. Yes, it's all the same.
No.
Yes.
Don't take him from us.
And then...
He's ours.
Okay. Big Cass, looks like he's going to be embattled in a feud with the Big Show now, because they're both big, and Vince was sitting in Gorilla rolling the dice, which is a euphemism.
That's a pile of money right there, and by pile, I mean two bills.
And you can't spend that. See, that was good. I was happy with that one. Probably the best match of the night, in my opinion. Cesaro and Sheamus retained their tag team titles against the Hardy Boys. Matt needed 9 stitches in the end. Started with the first fall in 18 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah, after a big boot.
Because we need to piss off Sheamus. Daniel Bryan fans.
Yeah, that's all that was. It was WrestleMania, whatever number it was, all over again.
Because heel heat.
Yep.
But I like the fact that they had a long match, and I don't know how else you would do it. But I mean, when you run one of those marathon matches or Iron Man matches or whatever, it's always the same formula. Heels get early pins, face works their way back, heel takes the late lead, face ties it up with almost no time left, and then you have your actual finish either in the final seconds or in like an overtime period.
The final fall was at 29:32 in this match. So
it's the same script. And
first 10 minutes, standard WWE whatever match. Last 20 minutes, spectacular. Matt needed 9 stitches after. But yeah, it was a really good match. I like the finish too. It's really creative. Like, get the pinfall. Cesaro just kind of powders, runs away from Jeff. Jeff still gets the twist of fate on him. Doesn't make the pin in time. Gets the 1 and the 2, but the clock expires. Does not get the 3.
Yeah.
It was fun. I really liked it. The Hardys then come out Monday, cut a promo. Jeff says, you know, a lot of people think we're going to fade away and classify ourselves as obsolete. And then Matt says, maybe we're a little broken. So interesting, even though Jeff
Internet
Jarrett
explodes.
Jeff Jarrett says on the conference call for Impact this week that they are still in full ownership rights of the broken gimmick. So who knows what's going on there. But interesting.
Fuck that owl.
Fuck that owl. Also, Matt Hardy liked one of my tweets, and I'm not going to go into the tweet or what sent the tweet, but hey, Matt, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks defeated Alexa Bliss by countout after Alexa just, you know, had enough of that shit and left the ring and sat outside for 10 seconds.
Because heels. I mean, and that's her character too. And it, I mean, as much as a screw job finish as that is and that frustrates people, that's perfect for her character and it progresses the story.
Yeah, I really liked it here. I didn't like it, well, 2 or 3 weeks ago when the Usos did it. It makes way more sense here with the way she's been constructed, like you were saying. And she is wonderful and can do no wrong. She is 5 feet of fucking fury. I'm going to add another F to it. I don't know what to say about this match because, boy, it's still a thing. The Miz defeated Dean Ambrose and retained the Intercontinental Championship. Hey, and it looks like this feud's still going on Raw. Shoot me in the face.
Curtis Axel wears a suit pretty well. Good for him.
Bo Dallas pulls off the whole Axl Rose look really good, too.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, but why not?
He stands out.
He does.
We had the Mizzies Monday night on Raw in a Miz TV segment. And everyone was fantastic. Maurice breaking down in tears for winning the most beautiful, sexy wife award. It was good. All right, here's the biggest piece of talking we will do about this show. Braun Strowman defeats Roman Reigns in 16 minutes and 35 seconds in an ambulance match. Roman goes for the late spear to spear Braun into the ambulance. Strowman sidesteps him. Roman spears himself into the back of the ambulance. And Reigns then Strowman shuts the doors for the win. Let's talk about the match before we get into the post-match antics.
Okay, I will talk about the finish first. Literally, the man says suffering succotash in promos, but yet he does not, like, he falls for the easiest cartoon trick of all.
Never put that together.
Come on, Roman. Bugs Bunny's been doing this stuff since, like, 1947, and you can't figure that out. Oh, well.
And you...
Faces are dumb.
Yep.
That's why he was so pissed afterwards.
Yeah. Don't blame him for breaking out of the back of the ambulance, destroying Strowman, throwing Strowman into the back of the ambulance after, what, 2 Superman punches? Going to the driver's side, ripping the ambulance driver out of the seat, who I guess just sat there for the last 20 minutes. Didn't like, watch the match or anything. Roman gets in the driver's seat, floors it out of the arena proper into the backstage area, into the loading dock. And then at full speed puts the ambulance into reverse and backs it into a tractor trailer, causing quite the collision. Reigns gets out of the ambulance. Kurt Angle, Jamie Noble Boy, and everybody else is outside yelling at Roman, "What the hell did you just do?" Roman just leaves without saying a word. And then we have to call the Air Force. the Air Force firefighters in to get the Jaws of Life to pry open the ambulance, drag Braun Strowman out. He will not comply, continues to stagger his way out of the ambulance and says, "I don't need your help," and then disappears behind a crate and was not seen Monday night. This was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, questionable use of the Jaws of Life. I don't want those guys saving my life if I'm stuck in an ambulance, I guess.
So is this feud going on? Are we going to keep going with this? Which, if this, I'm fine with that, if it's going to be this good.
I don't think you can let it go at this point, but...
Do we circle back to it after SummerSlam, maybe?
I mean, I guess so, but I mean, shouldn't this have been a double turn? Or are we still insisting on...
It felt that way Sunday night, and then Monday on Raw, Roman's kind of... he's back to normal Roman, which however you want to interpret him, he is either face or heel. So he's going to face Joe Monday night for a number one contender slot for the championship at SummerSlam. Spoiler alert, Joe lost. Could we see the return of Strowman Monday and then somehow this becomes a fatal four-way, which I think is a possibility?
I don't know. I think you want to at least have Strowman sell this a little bit because, you know, the guy's practically dead or whatever. I mean, he came back from the dead once already.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad we didn't see him on Monday. I was worried they were going to parade him out there after he was covered in the ketchup or strawberry jelly or whatever it was when he came out of the ambulance.
Blood packets.
Yeah, blood packets. Probably given to him by Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
Most important match of the night that we didn't get to see any of. Heath Slater defeated Curtis Hawkins with a Canadian Destroyer off the top rope in 2 minutes and 10 seconds as filler while they extracted Braun Strowman from the ambulance. That's the best tweet I've ever seen. Brian Myers, Curt Hawkins tweeting out, for those of you who are wondering, Heath Slater won with a Canadian Destroyer off the top rope.
Shame you didn't see it, guys. Yeah. Oh, well.
And apparently they did rush that out there to fill time because the jaws of life were taking longer than they were supposed to, by all accounts.
And, yeah, I mean, that's what I had heard, too, that Slater and Hawkins really did not expect to be on the card. And
Hawkins said he was in catering when they were like, we need you to go out there, like, right now.
I mean, they did. They went out there with, like, their shirts on and...
Yep.
I mean, Hawkins himself, I mean, yeah, was like half dressed and
yeah,
they just kind of ran out there and did whatever. And
it makes sense to me. Like, you've got to give that for the live crowd to keep them at least mildly engaged. On TV, we're watching the backstage stuff, so it's no big deal. But watching that on a Titantron in the arena, boy, I hate being at Raw or SmackDown and having to watch TV.
Yeah, I was at the last taping Raw or SmackDown that we had in Raleigh, was a SmackDown where Mark Henry pulled a bus or something. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember him being like outside and having to pull a bus or a tractor trailer or something like that because, you know, strong. And it killed that crowd so dead because you're just watching TV.
The last Raw I went to was in Greensboro. It was the debut of Golden Truth and also the debut of the Shining Stars. So I was there. I should get a commemorative T-shirt. They showed the big video package about how the Golden Truth had gotten together on the Titantron. And it was like 4.5 minutes long. And I just remember being like, it is 10 o'clock at night, and I am watching television in a room with 10,000 other people. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, that's why they did that.
I like it. I think they should do it more, stuff like that.
It gave it a real, like, holy shit, we got to do something. It gave it a real, like, panicked feel to the whole situation, which I liked. Main event, Brock Lesnar defeats Samoa Joe in 6 minutes, 25 seconds with the F5 to retain the WWE Universal Championship, which, yes, it still does exist. Joe gets the jump early as Heyman's doing Lesnar's introduction. Lesnar recovers a bit. The bell finally rings. Joe has the upper hand pretty much the entire match until Lesnar catches him with one F5 off guard to end it. This match was perfectly structured for what it needed to be.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It didn't seem like it went 6:25 either. It seemed like a longer match.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And then when I heard it was 6 minutes, I was like, really? I would have said 10.
Well, I guess, you know, Lesnar time is technically like 10 seconds is like a minute. So
Lesnar was highly motivated in this match. You could tell.
Yeah.
He wanted to put on a show with Joe.
And I think it's a thing too of like, it's something different. It's not just, you know, Suplex City or you know, just quick choke out, or, you know, I guess working with Goldberg, you know, then to work with Joe is like apples and oranges.
They've been booking his matches way better, though, since Mania 32 against Ambrose, when they had that shit show. Which I know Ambrose has put all the onus on Lesnar for the issues. But all the Goldberg matches were great, because they were exactly what they needed to be. Short, just let's destroy some mess and move on.
Great's a strong word, but okay.
They were, for what they needed to be and what they were great.
Okay.
The Mania match? Come on. I enjoyed it.
I don't enjoy one of the people in it, so that's probably the thing that bothers me the most. Yeah, that's just me.
I don't know why you don't like Goldberg.
He was fine in like 97.
He was fine in the Atlanta. He was fine in the Georgia Dome. All right. So that was Great Balls of Fire. We should run down pay-per-views that fast all the time, Tom.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we even covered the stuff that happened on Raw. Tom, did you watch
Nothing happened on SmackDown, so.
No, SmackDown. Cena, let's see. AJ came out and was like, I'm going to do a U.S. title open challenge. Cena came out and was like, cool, I started that. I'll challenge you. And then Owens and Rusev came out, beat him down, and were like, tag team match, playa. And then Cena and AJ won the tag team match. And there was some other shit in the middle.
There was a Fandango thing.
Yeah, the worst one yet.
Fashion Files.
I think the Fashion Files thing may be starting to jump the shark.
Maybe.
All right. That was Great Balls of Fire. WWE's got some other hot shit going on right now. And I mean that in a good way. The Mae Young Classic tapings have begun. We won't spoil any of that because I really want to watch it. And I've seen a lot of results on Twitter, but also forgotten them quickly because I want to watch it and experience it.
Spoiler, ladies wrestle.
Yeah. Spoiler, a woman won.
There was a woman referee as well.
Yes, her debut. They had hired her 3 or 4 months ago, I think. I remember that story breaking. So, yeah, it's exciting. Among the competitors now, this evening, Thursday evening, they did the full parade of champions on Facebook Live, and they've uploaded it to their website and to YouTube and such since. So if you want to see all the competitors, it's all there on the internets for you. But key people involved include Abby Laith, who is the former Kimberly, and I think she went by Kimberly Frankly earlier in NXT as well. My pick to win, and I know she won't because she's not under contract, but give me this moment. Candice LeRae, Mrs. Johnny Wrestling.
She's not under contract?
Nope, she is not under contract to WWE.
I thought they signed her, but I guess it wasn't that they signed her. They got her to participate.
Yeah, I do not. Yeah, because she was in that one battle royal.
Keep talking, I'll look it up.
She was in a battle royal for the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. Has been on the show since. Is just in the Mae Young Classic, but is not a signed WWE talent. Let's see, another one of my top five indie wrestlers in the world that are women: Kaylee Ray from the UK, who has been ICW Women's Champion in the past. Lacey Evans, who's an NXT talent. Scroll. Sarah Logan, who was the former Crazy Mary Dobson. Shayna Baszler, one of the Four Horsewomen. Rousey and the rest of the Four Horsewomen were ringside tonight at Full Sail. Tessa Blanchard, daughter of Tully Blanchard. Girlfriend of Prince Puma / Ricochet. Tony Storm, the Progress Women's Champion. And then I think most importantly, the one people are kind of most excited about, Kairi Sane. I guess her NXT name is, she went by Kairi Hojo before, but it's Kairi Sane or Sane. I'm not sure how they're pronouncing it because I was watching the Parade of Champions on mute. But big tournament. 16 women already eliminated tonight. So if you want to know, you can look. Oh, and Alundra Blaze joined the commentary team, by the way. So it's Lita, Jim Ross, and Alundra Blaze.
Okay.
Yes. Show debuts immediately following SummerSlam because, you know, it's not going to be a long enough day already. And then I think they dropped the first several episodes that week. The following week is the balance of the episodes. 2 weeks after SummerSlam are the live finals after SmackDown on the WWE Network. I'm excited for this, Tom.
Yeah, it should be interesting just for the fact that we don't have to worry about angles and all the things that they insist on doing with women's matches now. It's just going to be straight up wrestling. Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of women in this tournament that can wrestle their asses off. So. Yeah.
And every report I saw from this evening said it was fantastic. Every match was fantastic. So I'm very excited. And we do, I can confirm at this time, we have a correspondent on the ground who will be joining us once the Mae Young Classic begins to air. We will have him on the show to discuss what he saw at Full Sail. Our friend Brian Shaw at B Shawsome on the Twitter.
And give us all the spoilers so we don't have to watch.
Yes. Spoilers.
Just ruin everything.
Yep. I'm not going to give you any I'm not going to give you any spoilers.
No, we're going to make him do it.
Yep. let's see. Yeah. So that's those two topics.
Check.
Check. Check. Check. Number three. It's like we're doing it. Let's see, we're just doing the... This is the amount of time we wanted to take to do the show is about how much time we used to take to do the 10 counts. We had posted a question on the Facebook as well as the Twitter in response to the fact that we're going to learn, finally, Monday night on Raw, what Kurt Angle's big secret is. We were asking you, the listeners, the Cheaters Never Pin Omniverse?
Sure.
We'll go with that. Cheaters Never Pin Omniverse. What you thought Kurt Angle's secret was? We got two responses.
Thank you.
Thank you. One from our very own Full Sail correspondent, Brian Shaw. He said Kurt's going to reveal he was never really bald.
He's been working us all this time.
Well, if he never would have had that hair v hair match with Edge, it wouldn't have been an issue. Which I love the fact that they had a hair v hair match because Kurt was going bald. They wanted to cover it up. His hair just never grew back.
That's how those things work, though.
Wrestling is amazing.
Yeah.
Then we had a comment on the Facebook page from Jeremy DeStefano, and it just simply says, I hope it wasn't Paige.
I hope it was.
Good Jesus.
Because she needs some help.
Please, I can't. I'm moving on. I can't.
Yeah.
Okay. I dealt with like 16 hours of rage yesterday. Like blinding, had a headache rage from like 2 o'clock until I went to sleep last night over that bullshit.
Okay.
See my Twitter. Apparently. Yeah. Apparently. For saying that domestic battery is wrong, I'm a millennial snowflake, according to one person that replied to me. But, you know, whatever. It's all good. I don't give a fuck. Block.
Moving on.
Moving on. Match exchange. Did I just blow you out of your seat?
I realize I have to get up because I need my notes.
Oh, okay. I'll go first then. While you do that. Tom, you gave me last week for the match exchange MSG taped house show match from back when they used to do those things between the Brainbusters and the Rockers. I didn't take any notes on it, but this is old school tag team wrestling. I absolutely love. And this was that. Like, we told the great story of these young, fast up-and-comers really getting it in on Arn and Tully. It really being able to one-up them and be one step ahead of them at every turn until they cheat to win. because Hebner was in the match. Earl Hebner was the referee. So, you know, of course his back was turned at the wrong moment, probably because he was selling merch out of his trunk. But
more than likely.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. Again, it's not a, you know, crazy, it's not a Young Bucks match, so it's not crazy high flying like, holy shit, I wrote down all these spots to go through, Tom. Just really, really well worked. Young Shawn Michaels is always a treat. Jannetty is always a treat. And Arn and Tully are goddamn American icons. 3.5 stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still can't find my notes, but I'm going to freestyle it here. For
I like that.
The amount that I can remember. So you gave me an empty arena, an empty Tokyo Dome match.
There you go.
I need to specify this. So having given you the empty arena match, I thought, all right, well, empty Tokyo Dome, same kind of deal. No, it's not really the same type of deal. Because
no,
for the empty arena match, you had an empty arena with a wrestling ring and all that type of thing. The empty Tokyo Dome was, they had just played baseball yesterday, and it's still kind of that way.
Yep.
So we have, we have the two workers, Suzuki and the other one.
Yep.
I just know Suzuki because that hair, man.
You can't mistake it.
Yeah. Which I assume is not just cut that way. It's just the pattern that his hair grows in.
Right.
So they get introduced, and the one dude who isn't Suzuki, like when he gets introduced, proceeds to run around the bases because, of course. And then Suzuki comes in, shows off his Neverweight title, and they start to get ready and they start yelling at each other. And I cannot remember her name, but a woman wrestler comes out and proceeds to, I'm assuming, sing the anthem.
I think that's what it was. Or so, try to sing the anthem is the way it should be phrased.
Yeah, so she goes to sing a song, and because of the whole baseball thing or whatever, we assume it's the Japanese national anthem, which she begins to sing, but the two wrestlers are yelling at each other, so she proceeds to get in between the two of them and sing louder, to which they start yelling, so she starts singing even louder and like pushing them apart.
So off key as well. It's not good singing.
No, it was not meant to be good, and it got worse. So fight. You know, we're doing like leg takedowns and arm bars on turf and dirt because no ring. I don't remember seeing a referee at any time.
There was one.
Okay, I don't
remember. He's the one that had to keep calling him safe.
Oh, right. Okay. So there's grappling, there's whatever, then they start to go into the crowd, and by crowd, I mean the stands, not the actual crowd of people, although there are several photographers and media types and camera people and that type of thing. They go into back areas where they run into several wrestlers who make cameos. I assume they're wrestlers, just people that seem to be coming out of nowhere. There was a fat dude that wanted to get involved and keeps getting thrown down staircases.
They are all DDT talent. I've read that before.
There was a dude who got bumped into, a janitor that suddenly like threw down his mop in Andy Bernard like fashion to reveal himself as being a wrestler. Then he started to fight. There was a guy who ran up to them ran up to other officials, it seemed like, with like fistfuls of money, begging them to, I don't know, presumably let him into the match or let him into the promotion or something, to which Suzuki pretty much like attacked him, took all of his money, and like kind of split the money with the guy that he was fighting, and then kind of wanted it back, and they started fighting again. Found the fat guy again, threw him down the stairs again. They were in the stands when a lovely woman who was selling beer just happened to be passing by, because despite the fact that this is an empty Tokyo Dome, we're still selling beverages.
Well, yeah. The dome has to be fully operational.
So she was selling her beverages, and the wrestlers got mad because, well, she was there, and then she got mad because she was still trying to sell her damn beverages, and why are you people here? So they got into an argument, and then she proceeded to kick one of the wrestlers, and then the other wrestler went to go argue, and then she kicked the other wrestler, and then proceeded to go back to selling beer. Because this is what happens in this match. They go into a small staircase where they then proceed to we find in another camera view the fat dude who's like sitting in the most loneliest way, seemingly dejected because he had been thrown down too many flights of stairs, and he is sad. And we were made to feel sad. And then we can hear the guys fighting down the staircase. We know it's going to happen. They're going to run into each other. But then cut to sad fat guy again. Then to the fighting. Then to sad fat guy. It just keeps going back and forth. The anticipation is like driving you mad. Like, just get to him. And finally they make it to him. And he's just still sitting there, disappointed. And then Suzuki proceeds to once again kick him down the stairs and then steps on him to get past him because reasons. So near the end of the match, they go to, they're fighting in a hallway, and there is a like Muay Thai kickboxer in full uniform, special gear, headdress, tassels, whatever you do. And Suzuki and the other guy look at him and they're just like, oh shit. And Suzuki's like, no, you go. And the other guy's like, no, you go. And they're like pushing each other, trying to like get them to run into him. And then finally Suzuki pushes his opponent into the kickboxer guy, who gives him the sweetest little gentle kicks, which he has to sell for murder, because, well, if the kickboxer, I guess the kickboxer actually felt like, if I actually kick you hard, you're going to die. To which Suzuki's like, oh good, a distraction, and then he sneaks around him the other way, and then the match ends.
Yeah.
But not until like the other guy got past the kickboxer and they're just like, okay, we've escaped the dome.
Had escaped the dome, apparently.
So,
watch it.
Yeah.
It's... Tom's incredible description of it, as incredible as it is, still doesn't do it justice.
No.
Because it is a spectacle.
And again, like, if I knew Japanese, or I knew, like, who a lot of these people were, it might have helped. Because, again, these are just random people. And I feel this is something... I know we're doing an actual card for the Drunk Cast. I feel as if we need to throw that match in there as well.
Okay, we can do that.
Because, I mean, I follow wrestling and I don't understand it. You need to put strangers who don't even watch wrestling and make them watch that shit.
Yeah.
Someone's going to get an aneurysm watching that.
Oh, jeez. Star rate me.
Two point four seven nine out of 3.5 stars.
Ooh, okay.
Because that match made no sense, so that rating will make no sense either.
All right. Well, this week for you, I have a primer for the Mayhem Classic for you, Tom.
Okay.
From the UK, I have Toni Storm versus Kaylee Ray.
Be sure to put that online because I usually end up looking for these matches and
I will
end up texting you like an hour before the podcast going, what was the match again?
It will be linked on the post with this podcast at cheatersneverpin.com. As always, it's always there, Tom.
I don't go to our website.
Vote of confidence. But yeah, it's good. Two of the best
women. I don't need to go there. I live it, man.
Live the gimmick. What you got for me?
Well, speaking of aneurysms. I guess it was last week or earlier this week, was the anniversary of the passing of Shinya Hashimoto, who passed away. He was a former New Japan Pro Wrestling wrestler and a former IWGP heavyweight champion. He passed away at the age of 40 from a brain aneurysm. He wrestled for New Japan for a while, went through their system, went through the dojo, then ended up kind of going off on his own and forming the 01 promotion, which he ran for a little while back when there was like, we went from like the two promotions set to like when you had All Japan and New Japan and then Noah and then the 01 came out and people started wrestling for different promotions and all, but yeah. And but he was still kind of in the prime of his career when he passed away, and it was sad and unfortunate. So what I did was, first of all, he's fascinating to watch for me because watching him in the 90s and my little internet boardrooms and chat rooms and all that type of thing, we used to call him Fat Japanese Elvis. Because in comparison to every other Japanese wrestler, he was a heftier guy. He wore these pants that went up a little bit and kind of hide his gut a little bit, and went down and were like bell bottoms. And he had the long sideburns and kind of this like feathered mullet kind of deal going. And he just had his own look and it was pretty cool. But he was a stiff kick thrower. DDTs and brainbusters were his finishers and specialties. So I've got the date of the match, I guess would be August 15th, 1995. The finals of the 1995 G1 Climax. So there's a theme for you there as well.
Nice.
Shinya Hashimoto takes on Kiji Muto in the finals. I threw that at in there, but Kiji Muto, fun to watch when he's not. It's weird to see him actually in these times because he's still one. He's still. But to just see like he wrestles a completely almost different style than Muda. Muda and Kiji Muto are two completely different wrestlers that just have to be portrayed by the same guy.
Tom, you're being but eaten every, by robots right now.
Kiji pull out a Muda type move, ring elbow, or you know, obviously the moonsault, and it's just neat to watch. So
okay. Hopefully our listeners
on the Muda scale.
Hopefully our listeners understood part of what you said because I didn't, because you were being eaten by robots the entire time. I don't know.
Who now?
Yeah. Now there's a delay. All right, but we got the match. Muto Hashimoto from the G1 98. Did I have that right?
95.
There we go. Cool. All right. So before Tom completely bails, we're going to get out of here. Tom, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Go on the Twitter at Mr. Workrate. Just do that.
I like that the only words that came through were Mr. Workrate.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. You can find me on the internet at JC Bobbitt, JCBOBBITT on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, wherever finer social media is pervade. You can find this show on Twitter at CheatersNVRPin. Also give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/CheatersNeverPin. As we covered before, too, CheatersNeverPin.com's got two buttons. One's an Amazon button, one's a Patreon button. We'd appreciate if you clicked on both of them for us. Boom. That is one hell of a speed run of Cheaters Never Pin, Tom.
If I'm still there, I mean.
You are.
I may have been taken by aliens. I don't know.
All right. Well, hopefully Tom will be back next week if he's not been abducted and or eaten by robots.
I hope my new robot overlords have.
Hey, he's back! There we go. Just in time. You're back. Perfectly fine.
All right, then.
There we go. Yep, so for all of us here at Section 328 Media Empire, myself, and Tom.
Who's still here, I guess.
He is. We go catch you on the flip side.